I'm reading from Psalm 32, verse 9. Psalm 32, verse 9. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. My subject today is, be not like the mule. And I'm sure most parents have said at some point in life to their children, do not behave like, you can name it. Though the Bible compares us from time to time with animals, we are not higher animals, but higher than animals, lower only to God who made us. We love animals, we protect them, but we are not higher primates. If you have noticed it, so many adverts in our world are using animals to pass on their message. It is almost as if we love animals more than people. They are really the new teachers. But we read in the Word of God, it is said about false prophets that they are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Their God is their belly. They are described as natural brute beasts. According to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Balaam, a false prophet, was resisted in his madness by his own donkey. And in Isaiah chapter 1, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But my people, do not know and doth not consider. So, be not like the mule. My dear friends, will dumb animals shame us? This phrase, be not like the mule, should really make us to think, and make everyone to think, to be inquisitive and to question the purpose of life. What will be your obituary? How will your epitaph read? Lived and died like a beast, or lived and died like a fool? God in His mercy, wants to instruct us. And He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Be not like. So, the comparison. David was an experienced observer. He knew a lot about nature. As he looked at the immensity and perplexity of the universe, he came to the conclusion that only a fool could say in his heart there is no God. He also knew a lot about horses, about mules and sheep. He was a shepherd himself. More than once, it is said, he behaved like an animal. Even in the context of Psalm 32, we know that it is his confession after he committed adultery. He tried to cover it up, and he became a liar, he became a coveter, and he even became a murderer. David was full of guilt. And as we know, guilt is a taboo word in our feel-good society. But the good thing about David is that he dealt with his sin and guilt in true repentance and faith. Oh, you can sense and see the joy of salvation and being forgiven by God in his confession in Psalm 32. He did not remain silent about his transgression and iniquities, and God was also willing to make him miserable until David put things right. God does the same with us. The burden of sin is so heavy, but that burden, that heavy burden, can be removed from every man and from every woman who comes to Christ by faith. He suffered on the cross of Calvary for that. He paid the price there. He agonized for every repentant sinner. Come to him. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You cover your sin, God will uncover it. But when we confess our sin to him on the basis of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will cover it with great forgiveness by grace and mercy. Oh, my dear friends, sin is missing the mark. It is a spiritual sickness that has affected all of us. Our lives are out of alignment with the perfect will of God. We have distorted God's plan. He made us for a greater purpose. But we have changed his laws and have declared ourselves to be self-made. Sin is evil. Sin sticks closer to us as a shadow. Sin brings confusion and alienation. It starts small and ends in murder. Sin contaminates, it springs. It takes a heavy toll and it is always leading to death. Sin is like a lion, a roaring lion, a wild dog, a tiger. Sin is consuming until it kills. Oh, the good news for all sinners, meaning for all of us in Christ, is that he paid all the debt of our sins if we place our trust in him alone. Then we can shout for joy and be glad in the Lord, because our transgressions have been forgiven and our sins covered. Is your spiritual eyesight so poor that you do not see how we appear, you and me, in the sight of God? Will you keep silence like a dumb mule? Be ye not as a mule. This is God speaking, it's not David. So the comparison doesn't come from the prophet, it comes from God. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. A man without God is just like a beast. So foolish was I and ignorant, the psalmist says. Oh, my dear friends, when we deny our Creator, when we deny God, we bring ourselves to a lower level than animals. But none said, "Where is God my Maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven?" These have no understanding. They have to be led, and they never pray for guidance. But what is man? Have you ever thought about it? Oh, man is a puny creature. But thou, Bible says, thou, God, madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. The Greek word for man means the one who stands straight, the one who looks up. To look up to what? The one who looks up to God, while most animals look down. Born into a sinful world, we all come heads down. What a fall! Why? Because we are all fools without God. We are kicking against the gods. It is true that we act in a brutish way, and some animals act almost like a human. But this only proves how fallen we are. It has nothing to do with us having evolved. Instead of evolving, we have devolved because of sin. Animal lovers think they are cute. Yes, some of them are cute. They act and react. But really, that's just our given gift of feeling and love. When a man believes that he descended from an animal, it is not strange that he will soon show the likeness of an animal in his conduct. Man, Man created in the image of God. He created them male and female in His likeness with incredible faculties. An intelligent, sophisticated being is called to learn from panyards, animals, because they love the hand that feed them. But man bites the very hand that created him. Look at it. We were given the capacity of language, the capacity of happiness, reasoning, love, family, joy, intelligence, power of invention, discovery, and the privileges of making wise choices, the privilege of music, the privilege of education. We have been given the gift of repentance and faith. With all their skills, ants, bees, donkeys, dogs, cats, elephants, lizards, dolphins, and so on, they are acting according to their inborn instincts, not skills acquired through learning. Animals will only develop patterns as they are trained, and they will only act by instinct. They do not have self-awareness. What about man? God doesn't look at us like He looks the animals. He has a higher end for us. We have a conscience. We are responsible beings, though most of time we are irresponsible. We reason, we act, we react, and we interact. We are intentional beings, even though most of time again we blame shift. Oh, my dear friends, we are also moral beings. We know what is good and what is right. We know what is bad and what is good. We are rational beings. We can think and reason, and we can also believe and trust. This is never given to an animal. We are free agents with no free will, because we will only choose, and we will always choose according to our nature. But we choose what to think, what to read, what to watch, what to study, where to live, where to travel to, what to eat and what to wear. Man has an immortal soul that cannot perish, whereas animals have a mere breath that perishes with the body. God never breathed His spirit in an animal. No animal knows what God created him to be and what for. No animals will be called into account at the day of judgment. There is no court to judge animals, but there is one for men. It is appointed unto men once to die. Then comes the judgment. There is not much mental engagement with animals. We know that. You cannot have a lecture, a reasoning argument, or a classroom to teach animals. They do not write, and they do not study. Animals do not have a soul. They never worship. They never pray. They never give thanks to God. While God has created us to give Him thanks, to praise Him, and to believe in Him, animals are happy grazing, chewing. They are either slaughtered, or then they are no more. What a pathetic existence, while the Bible speaks about eternal life. An animal lives just now, and most of them are not even buried. They just die. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. What a warning! Be ye not as a mule. What is a mule known for? A horse is swift, powerful, boastful, and impetuous. Man is proud, and pride is a sin. It is deadly. Mules are often associated with stubbornness, obstinacy, slowness. Mule is an irrational creature. In spite of its stubbornness, a mule will not turn away from its feeding place. It knows where it belongs to and who cares for it. But what about you and me, having been created millions and millions times higher than animals? Oh, look at that cat, that dog licking your bare hand or your face. In some cultures that is forbidden. But man, a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him, God has crowned him with glory and honor, have rebelled against his Maker. Our disobedience is because of our sinfulness and moral corruption. Man is a fallen creature. Man, called to be in great honor, was created by God to worship him and to believe in him. With all his prestige, honor and possessions, a man without Christ, a man without God, burns up. Now, how are we then to live? Because God created us for a greater purpose. Oh, the remaining verses in this psalm, verse 10 and 11, will tell us. Let me read them for you. And it says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Oh, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. So you can see, man is called to be upright in heart. He is called to trust in the Lord, to receive God's mercy. That's what God has called us for. The key to life is to trust God and to trust in God. If all that we live for is this world, then we shall all die like beasts, with the difference that you and me must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ for neglecting our souls, for murdering our own souls, and insulting God. Nothing earthly, no matter how much we have accumulated, will be of any help to us before God. What shall it profit to a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Even knowledge is vanity when it comes to eternity. A medal, a trophy, ennoblement, a degree, power, reputation, family, nothing will be of any good in the life to come. Our inner man, the real you and me, craves and seeks for something deeper, higher and greater, because God has implanted his love in your soul. Eternity has been stamped in your heart, and we have a conscience. God gave us a conscience. Oh, my dear friends, the problem with us is that the devil leads us here and there with a hook. If he tells us to sin, we go for it. And this is what you see even in our world today. Do what you want. If you want to be a dog, behave like a dog. But that's not what God created us for. Dead in our sins and transgressions, deluded, walking according to the course of this world, deceived by the prince of the power of the air, disobedient children, dominated by the lusts of our flesh, doomed, we are by nature the children of God's wrath. That's how God sees us, without a savior. We are not that free as we think or may think. We are in bondage to the devil, our master. He tells us to do this, we gladly do it. Go this way, we go this way. People say, I don't believe in the devil. No surprise, he leads them. Sadly, my dear friends, I hope nobody in our listeners this morning will find himself in this manner. Sadly, we love our darkness more than we love light. We have dehumanized ourselves. Our true manhood and womanhood are denied, and we have lost common sense, and we have lost all dignity. Is there any hope for us? Oh, there must be some hope for us. The only way not to live and die like a mule is to come to the Creator. The worth of man before God is most clearly seen at Calvary. You know what happened at Calvary? Man is so valuable, so important in God's eyes, that he took the death of the sinless Son of God to pay with his own life and blood to redeem us, to redeem everyone who believes in him. Your soul is so valuable that the whole world cannot pay for it. God identified himself with us, not clothed in an animal skin, but in a body like ours, to identify himself with us? Oh, God wants us to be smarter than animals. An animal will never be called the child of God, but you and me can become the children of the living God. You know what the Bible says? I read it for you in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, great verses. And it says there, "But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." God himself came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. And we are given this great privilege to become children, sons of God. Christ came to die as the good shepherd for his sheep. His sheep listen, obey, and follow him. He knows them. They listen to his voice. He calls them by name. They follow him, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. Oh, my dear friends, our humanity is restored when we turn in repentance and faith, confessing all our sins to our designer, the one who made us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of this world, the redeemer who came from heaven to earth to die that painful agony on the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood there for every repenting sinner. Instead of stubbornness, God will make you willing in joyful obedience to come. We don't need a bit or a bridle, because God will guide us through his word. You will have his eye upon you. Oh, flee to Christ, run to the barn of salvation. He will not use bit and bridle to draw us to him, but the tender mercies of the free gospel, good news. He said, "Come unto me, all of you." Are you that stubborn when it comes to the need of your soul? Spiritual facts are also stubborn. They cannot be eradicated. They cannot be rejected. They will stand firm against us in the day of judgment. Why are we so slow in hearing and understanding? Be not like the mule, God says to us. Look at the great hope we have. In verse 10 it says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked." These are the sorrows of not being right with God. These are the sorrows of rebellion. These are the sorrows because of our own sins. We have brought these things upon ourselves. But what must I do then? In verse 10 it says, "But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." I need that mercy to be multiplied unto me. And that mercy has been embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. I must repent. Trust on the Lord. Oh, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. We need a guide. Because every one of us, like a sheep, has gone astray. We need a shepherd. And God provided that shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd. He is our great shepherd. And he is our chief shepherd. And as our good shepherd, he gave his life for his sheep. In verse 3, "When I kept silence," Psalm 32 verse 3, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day." You see what happens when we do not confess our sins. The mule says nothing about his sins. He tries to hide them. Oh, don't be like a mule resisting. Take that full gallop to the Lord in confessions of sins. If I stay in my sins like a mule, many sorrows await for me. But when I come to the Savior in faith, all his counsel is available for me. He will guide me, and he will guide you in all your life decisions. You know what Matthew Henry said? "It is better to be a beast than to be a man that makes himself like a beast." Oh, the same Matthew Henry said again, when we cast our sin behind our back and take no care to repent of them, God set them before his face and is ready to reckon for them. But we set them before our face through repentance, as David, when his sin was even before him, God cast them behind his back. That's good news also. Don't be like the mule. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Don't be like that beast that only perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. You see, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord for you, even today? That you might know the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Will you pass the test today? Will a dumb mule shame you? Are you spiritual or animal? Are you so dull in hearing? Oh, good news! Our image, which has been broken at the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and we have all fallen with them, that image has been restored in Christ. God doesn't want to deal with us like an owner of a horse or a mule, but as a father, as a savior, as a guide, as a provider, as a giver who has given us the most indescribable gift, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come to him. Come to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shall be saved. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again that there is great mercy before thy throne of grace. Oh Lord, we plead with thee that thou will visit every hearer of thy word today, that there will be, in spite of this lockdown, in spite of the fact that we are not able to meet physically, O Lord, we pray that thou will grant that click of salvation in a sinner's soul, that the scales will drop from his eyes, that he will see the light of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Visit us, Lord. Revive our souls. Create a pure heart in each one of us to seek after thee. O Lord, bless us with salvation in families, in the neighborhood, but also in our testimony and witness, even in these last weeks. We ask these mercies in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.